Welcome to today's podcast. Our guest is Rich Miller, president of the Harrison Group. Today's topic is open enrollment tips. So welcome to the podcast, Rich.
Thank you very much, Shelley. It's great to be here.
Well, thank you. Can you begin by giving us some updates about the numbers that change as we move into 2020?
Certainly. So first of all, earlier in the year, the IRS came out with the limits for health savings accounts. For single participants, the maximum that they can put in for the calendar year 2020 is $3,550, which is up $50 from 2019. And for people with family coverage, the maximum $7,100, up from $7,000 from 2019. The flexible spending account limits for 2020, we don't know what they are yet, and the reason being it usually is announced sometime in December, so it creates a little bit of havoc for 1-1 renewals because we don't really find out until about the second or third week of December as to what the amounts are going to be for 2020.
Well, that's a frustration, but at least we know that we're expecting change and we'll get that very soon.
Absolutely.
So there are some other important things that are happening for 2020. I know that we have some new HRAs that will be available. Can you touch a little bit about those new HRAs?
Yep. So there's an individual coverage HRA. A lot of people refer to them as ICRAs, but it might be easier for you to remember if you just remember it's an individual coverage HRA, which can be offered to employees where they do not get offered group medical coverage. And so if you have a client that doesn't offer group medical coverage, then all their employees could be offered an individual coverage HRA. Or if you had an employer that has offered group coverage to their employees, but they have a class of employees that they don't offer group medical coverage to, there are a number of rules involved with this, but just to remember that as long as they're not offered group medical coverage, then they might be entitled to participate in an individual coverage HRA. And then there's an accepted benefits HRA, which can be offered to anybody who is offered group medical coverage by the employer. So let's suppose that you offered group medical coverage to an employee and they're on their spouse's plan. They would still be eligible for an accepted benefits HRA. And as a result of that, they don't have to be covered under the group medical plan. The limit for the accepted benefits HRA is $1,800 per year. And the individual coverage HRA, there is no limit. So you could offer to pay for individual medical coverage plus out-of-pocket medical, dental, and vision costs up to any amount that the employer specifies.
So what kinds of ways could the Harrison Group help if an employer group wants to set up an individual coverage HRA? How can you help fill some of those holes that are required with individual coverage HRA?
So one of the things we can do is certainly consult a little bit with an employer to determine what they can do. The second thing we can do is we can draw up their plan documents to allow them to do it, and then where an employer doesn't want to self-administer the individual coverage HRA, we could provide the administrative services required.
Because I think probably one of the hardest parts here is from an employer perspective to be sure that the person that they're going to reimburse actually still has the coverage, right? So that's one of the tools that you could use to help the employer.
That's correct.
Okay. Along with that, there's some other changes that are happening related to transportation. So could you recap what we get with transportation expenses across the country as offered by the IRS? And then we're going to talk a little bit about New Jersey, but let's do the IRS rules first.
Absolutely. So they're commonly referred to as 132 plans or pre-tax transportation plans, and the IRS allows employees to contribute for 2019 up to $265 per month for either mass transit costs that employees have or parking costs. And it works very similarly to the daycare flexible spending account in that whatever the employee elects, they can spend, but they're not allowed to spend more than what's been withheld from their pay. So the employer's not at risk of paying any amount out that hasn't been collected from the employee yet, like happens with the healthcare flexible spending account. And employees are able to carry over any balances at the end of the year, and they can change their election at any time during the year too. So it's really pretty easy. The only catch for an employee would be if they had a balance when they left employment, they can't take it with them.
So we've had these types of specialized transportation plans for New York City, right? Do you want to just talk a little bit about what we've been doing in New York City and when did that start?
So New York City is a little bit different than the federal plan. They New York City instituted their law January 1st, 2016, and they made it mandatory for employers with at least 20 or more full-time non-union employees to institute a plan if the employees were working in New York City, which includes the Bronx, Brooklyn, Manhattan, Queens, and Staten Island. And it doesn't include the 20 employee limit, doesn't include part-timers, union employees, or employees working outside of New York City. So let's suppose that you had an employer that's headquartered in New York City and has 15 employees working in New York City and have 250 that are scattered across the state of New York or in other states. They wouldn't have to set up a plan because they didn't have at least 20 full-time employees working in New York City.
Hmm.
And the other thing is that a little different from the federal plan is that they're required to offer mass transit but not parking. The limit for the mass transit account is 265, like it is for the federal government, and the IRS hasn't come out with the new rate for 2020, but it's probably going to be around $270.
Okay. Well, thanks for the recap on that. And now let's transition into New Jersey. We've been seeing bits and pieces about the New Jersey Transportation Plan. So can you tell us what you know about the New Jersey Transportation Plan right now?
Absolutely. So the New Jersey plan differs a little bit from the federal plan, and it differs a little bit from the New York City plan. The first thing is that employers are going to be required to offer parking and transit that benefit to employees no later than March 1st, 2020. So the employers that are included are for-profit and non-profit employers with at least 20 or more employees working in New Jersey. It's not full-time employees, it's just employees. So it would also include part-time employees, and unlike New York City, you have to include union employees as well. And it doesn't include employees working outside of New Jersey. So once again, like the New York City example, let's say somebody was working in had an employment site, the employer's in New Jersey, and there's, let's say, 15 employees in, say, Trenton, and everybody else is employed in a different state. Well, then they wouldn't have to establish a plan. And by the way, New York City or New Jersey, it doesn't matter if they have less than the minimum required. They could still set up a plan if they wanted to. And then unlike New York City, New Jersey requires both mass transit and parking to be available. And the limit is the same as the federal limit, which is $265 each. And you can't commingle funds between the parking and the mass transit. It's something where it's whatever you put in the parking has to be spent on parking, and whatever you put in the mass transit has to be put in that account as well. And then what happens is employees can contribute pre-tax into those accounts and get reimbursed up to the extent that they've spent their money. And with the federal plan, you have to use some sort of an electronic card, like a debit card that we offer to be for employees to be able to charge their expenses. You can't just process it by manual claims with an employer. Now, you could reimburse manual claims, but it has to be incidental to the plan, not the main function of the plan.
That's a lot of rules.
It is.
And so you're saying that this has to be in place by March 1st. Does that mean we're expecting some additional rules from New Jersey before we get to that date?
New Jersey has said that they're going to come out with some administrative rules. Like one of the questions is, well, how about if I don't have any employees that take mass transit or pay for parking? What do I do then? If New Jersey chooses to be like the San Francisco plan, then what would have to be you'd have to do is establish a plan document and summary plan description or something similar to that to inform employees that they have an offer of coverage and the plan has to be in place. So what we can do is if they're going to adopt something similar to San Francisco, then what we can do is write a document for them so that their plan's in place. And then if somebody subsequently wants to take mass transit or pay for parking or something, they can do so pre-tax because the plan's been established.
So it sounds like this is something that is new and that New Jersey employers definitely need to be aware of this and should be talking about setting these up right now. So this is a good time for us to be saying this and for them to be contacting you to potentially find out whether or not it applies to them and how they would get their plan set up, right?
Absolutely. And one of the things that as part of the law is that if it turns out that people don't establish it by March 1st, then there are penalties that will apply.
So if somebody's already working with you today, you can add the transportation account to everything else they're doing?
Absolutely.
And for those that definitely need it for transportation, they can have just a standalone 132 plan with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And one of the things is when we administer, let's say, a healthcare flexible spending account, and somebody is also participating in the mass transit, we don't have two fees for that. We just have one. So some of our employers that we administer now will have very little in the way of increased costs. The only thing that I want to caution you about when you talk to employers is that the amounts that employees pay into their mass transit or parking is considered to be taxable income to the employer. And if the employer otherwise has taxable income, it could cost them as much as 20% of the amounts that employees put in there. It's something that portion of the law could get changed, but I know when it was put in, hardly anybody knew about it, and that applies not only to for-profit organizations, but it also includes nonprofits as well.
Wow. Well, thank you for the updates on what's happening in New York and what we're hoping to see with New Jersey and awaiting some additional rules. Can you tell us about some of the other services that Harrison Group will provide to employers?
Absolutely. I guess we fall under the category of third-party administrators. So we administer health reimbursement arrangements, health savings accounts, flexible spending accounts, the commuter transportation plans. We also do some other types of things that we can certainly handle the new HRAs that are going to be effective January 1st. And we also do 5500 preparation, wrap documents, and also do non-discrimination testing for our clients.
And one other thing that's top of everybody's mind is the 1095 and 1094 reporting. So are you able to help employers if they need that?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we do is we will, sometimes the payroll companies will have a whole setup and clients do it that way. But if you have a client that needs to get the reporting done, the 1095Cs are due January 31st and the 1094Cs are due by March 31st unless they're manual, and then it's due by the end of February. So we help clients now, and it seems that every year we do them, they tend to renew, so I guess they must be a little happy with what we did. or try.
Well, thank you so much, Rich, for going over all of those items with us. They're top of mind right now as we're moving into 2020 and going through the renewal season and a lot of employers looking at other plans and services and ways to save money wherever they can while getting the best services they can. So I appreciate all of your input. I do want to remind everybody that if you have any questions on any of the information that we covered, please contact your account manager or your account executive. This podcast is designed to highlight various employee benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or a tax professional. So once again, thank you, Rich, and thank you for listening.